This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.
Welcome to another episode of Great FM, everybody, the podcast series brought to you by Great HR. I'm Mahalia, as always, keeping you company. My pleasure, as always, I might add. And today we're actually going to be doing things a little bit differently. You know, one of the most intriguing and exciting conversations we've had on Great FM was, in my opinion, the episode about how HR has the opportunity and is very much occupying the space in today's workplace to drive innovation. And it was so exciting because it hinted at the different possibilities that HR professionals have today. It has been a slow burn, though, you know, arriving at this vast expanse of opportunity and getting a seat at the table. It's taken its own share of time. Where it used to be CEO and CFO, there are new letters, I think, filling the blanks in CXO, that, you know, little combination of letters that we hear so often. And that would be CHRO and CPO, the Chief Human Resources Officer and Chief People Officer. The evolution of the CHRO role is actually, when you think about it, almost a reflection of the evolution of HR itself. You know, two stories running in parallel to each other. So today we're going to explore these parallels through the story and journey of Janesh K, CHRO of RPSG FMCG, Guilt Free Industries Limited, a seasoned HR professional with 20 plus years of experience. Welcome, Janesh. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Ahilya. And I think a wonderful topic you have chosen for this discussion. I'm really excited to have this conversation.
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm going to match your excitement throughout the entire conversation because the evolution of the CHRO is endlessly fascinating, not to mention the importance of it in today's day and age. You know, this leadership role, it cannot be overstated. And, you know, Janesh, you do join us with a lot of experience. I have to add here that you were also head HR at Airtel in the course of your career. So let's start at the beginning before you reach this lovely position of leader that you're at now. What really made you want to pursue HR, and what was the HR scene like at the time that you made the decision?
Oh, this is... See, I must tell you that I am in HR by chance. I never dreamt of being in HR. I was looking for a good professional opportunity and to start my career after my engineering.
Okay.
And I was looking at all possible options of getting into masters of engineering or getting into civil services, where I did invest around 2 years. And parallelly, I did give MBA examinations, of course, not having any particular stream in mind at that point of time, whether I would want to do it in marketing or finance or HR. It so happened that I got a seat in HR, and that's how I was introduced to HR. And then I never looked back. Now, the scene of HR at that point of time, if I have to tell you in very simple language, was that it was HR operations at that point of time, and HR was only known for hiring. Mm-hmm. So the only power at that point of time HR had, which can be a little strategic in nature, is that they hire and they have power to decide careers of people, going to campuses and giving jobs to people. And that used to be a very, very coveted and powerful role. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it was all HR operations. The strategic HR was only read in Harvard magazines at that point of time. I at least never saw the strategic HR in action at that point of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I have seen the HR operations and the HR changing in last 20 years. And today, the scene is absolutely different.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, I think even the change that's happened in the past 5 to 7 years is enormous, right? But I'm interested to know whether your own personal perception, and I love that you reveal that you went into HR by accident, a happy accident, but has your own perception of the role of an HR leader, of a CHRO, kind of changed over the years since, you know, you first got into it and now occupying it yourself?
Yes, I think now I have much more respect for what HR does. Uh-huh. And at that point of time, in fact, even I was struggling to find an identity in terms of contributing to the business overall as an HR person, because at that point of time, even my thinking was also restricted to operational HR only. Maybe if I wanted to do something out of the box, it would be a very well-planned outbound, or maybe a very well-planned yearly event. But then somewhere the larger strategic intent was missing even at that point of time, and we were only taking instructions from the business. I never saw HR being treated parallel to CFOs or maybe any other business leaders from that perspective. Today, when I see, I believe that somewhere even we as an HR professionals were also responsible for HR being treated that way at that point of time. Today, I realize that HR has got a very, very strategic support and a strategic angle to the overall business deliveries. And thanks to the changes which has happened in the last 20 years, even leaders, business leaders have also realized that this is something which needs an expert, and that expert is an HR person. And my perspective of HR has changed completely. How we should deliver, how we should find that seat on the strategy table, and how we should contribute, which seems to be so directly connected with the business deliveries.
No, absolutely. And it kind of feels like one of those finally our time to shine moments, right? But I mean, there's always a long way to go. I also do really love that you brought up the idea of respecting the role and respecting the work, you know. At the beginning of your journey, were there any HR leaders in particular that you looked up to and admired, Janesh? You know, people who probably instill that kind of respect for the work in you as well?
I think at that point of time, Peter Drucker was one of the leaders who were read a lot from, especially from an HR angle perspective. And we used to read a lot of articles from, although never had a chance to meet him. But then in industry, I think he was the one who gave a lot of insights in terms of managing people. And then second, of course, which even today is my favorite, is Dave Ulrich. Which I think, as per me, is the god of HR. And I aspire to be even 1% of what Dave Ulrich thought processes, I would be very, very successful in my life.
Okay, awesome. Good to bring up, inspiring examples in the conversation. Now, if we jump to the present as CHRO, Janesh, what does your day look like? I know that your calendar must be chock-a-block at all times, but I'm trying to understand, in terms of your daily areas of focus, right? What occupies your time the most?
The way I would answer this question is the change which I have seen in myself. Now, today, most of the day goes in asking the right questions. There are a lot of meetings, and every time a function head or a team member or somebody from an employee would want to have a chat with me about anything which is an HR operations issue, anything which is to do with org restructuring, anything to do with capability building, or discussing about a very difficult employee conversation, I now spend a lot of time asking right questions to them so that I do not become prescriptive. And I have seen myself being very, very prescriptive early in career that this is how it has to be done. So please go ahead and do these five things. And then I realized that maybe that was the reason there was a lot of resistance from the business side also, and which I think a lot of my young HR fellows will also resonate with. The moment you say that, no, you have to give this, and this is the timeline, and this is how it has to be done, you will always have people having different perspectives and all. But today, I think I directly go to the final intent that what do we want to do here? And hence, have you done this? Or would you like to think it this way? And then the business head or anybody who has come to me as outside the HR department go back with this feeling that, okay, now I have four options to choose from, but finally I am making that decision. So I think these days, most of the time goes in inspiring and empowering people in taking their own decisions, but then somewhere at the back of the mind, ensuring that from an HR perspective, the intent is getting delivered.
No, so that's so nice and a very rewarding, I would assume, use of your time on a daily basis. But I do want to pivot the conversation a little bit now, Janesh, and talk to you about the time that we're living in. You did say that it has been, a difficult road to get here, to make people as well as ourselves in the fraternity recognize the importance of HR, right? And I've come across many headlines in preparation for, the episode today about how it's the CHRO's time now, So the whole world of business is paying attention to the value of a CHRO, to the value of the HR function. But do you think that this is like a, I did say slow burn in the beginning. Do you think it's a slow burn, or do you think there was like one pivotal moment where everything changed? Sometimes I wonder if it was COVID and people realizing how important people are to the business and therefore HR.
No, I would completely agree with you. No, the pivotal moment was, I think, COVID for humankind. I think it was COVID. So human resources being very, very close to humankind, we kind of in a way benefited the most. But I think what happened is the society became very receptive to issues which were earlier seen as kind of a stigma of having psychiatric issues, or maybe something which requires a psychologist to speak to. Employees will not talk about it in the office, or they will not even talk about it in the families. But today, this has become a very common scenario where people are very openly talking about it, and stress and anxiety has become a very common phenomenon. And with the acceptance of these words as very common words, and people realizing that, oh, this is fine now. Every second person is having a stress or an anxiety related to one or the other thing. So this is absolutely common. Even doctors have now started using the statement that, oh, this is very common, but you need to take care and you spend time in meditation and yoga. Now, thanks to this shift of the society to be a little more receptive to these concepts, that has helped HR. And that's where the business leaders are also not now realizing that there is something which is very, very humane in dealing with people. Now, it is not going to be around the processes. It is not going to be having a wonderful performance management system or maybe a development center, very, very scientific psychometric assessments and all. There is something which is beyond these things where you want people to have an emotional connect with what these people are doing. So now suddenly we have realized that we occupy human beings, not robots. And when we occupy human beings, we need to deal with them like human beings, and hence the softer aspects. Somewhere we as an HR people see employees as human beings and not employee codes. That's where the difference is. And hence, I think this is the time for HR.
This is the time for HR. And now that this seat at the table exists and it's being filled, I think what one does with it is very important as well, So what is your opinion when it comes to the key roles and responsibilities of a CHRO today? What would you peg those down to be?
I think it remains what always have been said is, how am I contributing to the business? How am I equipping my business leaders to make better decisions, especially from an HR perspective? Yeah, there are core functions who are actually bringing you the revenue, and HR has always been in most of the organizations a support function, and hence I need to ensure I create an environment for all these people and my managers to make right decisions, to hire better people, to get more from the people, and to have right people promoted and have right information about how the organization's health is from a people perspective. And I think that's where the strategy and operations meet. Instead of being prescriptive, I would want to be giving information and equipping them with some of the insights so that they take decision. I am not prescribing anything to them. For example, if I, let's say, do my HR analytics so wonderfully well that I can show them a trend that if we do this way, then most of my star performers are leaving the organization, and hence I need to be a little more sensitive while doing this. Or maybe let us do this reward and recognition this way, because there are a lot of people are talking about this, and this has in past given us this much of retention percentage more than this. Now this becomes a little difficult, because converting these emotions into numbers and data and analytics is something where HR struggles. But then if we are able to do that, and these days we have tools, we have employee engagement bots, we have data analytics tools, we have tools like AI and chat GPTs and all, why can't we create something which is equipping them to take better decisions? We have churn predictivity models designed either on Excel, or there are models also that from a churn predictivity model, I think that these are the people at risk. Would you want to give them a little extra in terms of job, in terms of job descriptions, or involve them in projects which make them a little more engaged? So these are the things I think we must be doing. I am equipping with you the best possible information in terms of past, in terms of current, and in terms of what could be a possible prediction. And then let the business heads take the decision.
And on the flip side, Janesh, what about the organization and how it supports the HR function or enables it to occupy a bigger part of the business overall? Are there still things that are left to be achieved on that side of things?
I think yes. A few of the actions which I had to take head on to ensure that the HR processes and HR discussions are not left for evening, late evening discussions or late evening slots. It so happened that I started realizing that my team and I am always getting a slot outside office hours. I had that conversation, upfront conversation with my leaders that, see, it is not about I don't want to stretch beyond work hours, or I don't want to work on Saturdays and Sundays. What I am more worried is that how important are these processes for you and your scheme of things? If from a 9 to 6, you are not able to prioritize any of these HR processes, like having a goal setting conversation, or having a holistic mid-year feedback, or having a improvement plan discussion, or maybe having a retention conversation, or having a confirmation conversation. And every time you try to push the HR agendas to not so important time of the day, then whether you like it or not, you are giving or you are deprioritizing the HR agendas. And I think a lot of us, even, and I am also sometimes struggle with this, is when we find the HR KPIs not finding place in the KRAs or deliveries of business heads. Not even 5% is given to maybe HR-related KPIs, which the whole organization is responsible for. So then how would I drive it? You are designing the system for HR to work in silos. So that's, I think, designed for failure. HR being reporting to CEO, I think, is something which is coming the way for HR being very, very strong in terms of taking calls about culture, about something which should not be done in the way the organization is aspiring to grow. And hence, HR needs to have that free hand, while articles and other frameworks talk about HR being custodian of the culture and all. Let HR have complete freedom to do that. And that freedom can only come when HR, CFO, and CEO work parallel to each other, not reporting into one of them. And I think that's something which is a major, major change which organizations should bring if they want HR to really stand up for something which is very, very important from a culture perspective.
I think you'll find a lot of people echoing that sentiment as well, Janesh. And I'm quite curious, though, when it comes to the career track of a CHRO, Janesh, from your own personal experience, right? Could you shine a light on exactly who gets to occupy the role of a CHRO? Because there's, significant movement between companies with only 36% of US CHROs gaining their position through internal promotion, right? And this is a statistic from Patrick Wright. So, what's your take on this? Do you think this kind of career trajectory is still the norm, or does it differ across industries?
I think no, I would echo with Patrick. This is unfortunately the reality also. And I will tell you why this is happening in at least my understanding. See, as an HR, when we are in the middle management and when we are growing, we are supposed to get things done by requesting, by following up, and by having a very, very conducive and respectful relationship with managers. Suddenly, if you make them the CHRO in the same organization, people find it difficult to accept them. Secondly, more importantly, that HR person now find it really difficult to have impactful conversation because people will not take him seriously. So the way the seriousness with which the CHRO has to drive the HR agendas, he will not be able to attract that seriousness about what he is talking. Now that's the difference. And I think the way we people are groomed and the way we HR also is responsible for that. We sometimes also find or look for favors from the business heads of doing something which is otherwise becoming difficult for me from a number perspective or a strategy perspective, but we need to drive it because there is a mandate from group HR. So we sometimes ask, sir, we need to do it, please fill it up. So I think all of us are responsible for this, and we need to change the way we treat HR, and we need to change the way we HR treat ourselves.
No, 100%. That's a very unique way of looking at it, Janesh. And thank you for that insight. You know, because there's so many people out there who may want to, our podcast connects directly with HR professionals, you know, people who may want to occupy the CHRO role. But I think figuring out the career trajectory sometimes is a little bit confusing, you know. And given where we are right now, HR, you know, with the seat at the table, being able to contribute to innovation practices, business strategy, operations, you know, all manner of things. Janesh, where do you see this role kind of peaking, right? Has it, I mean, what's left? Where else can HR get involved?
I think in terms of the financials, where I think even today, whenever there is a conversation about the cost, HR is still seen as a cost center than investment center. And that's where I think one day, from an organization perspective and people perspective, I see CHRO becoming the CFOs for HR angles. And the finance head takes care of the finances of non-living things, or maybe investments, or machineries, or other kind of investments, or business, marketing expenses, operational expenses, manufacturing. But then I would want to see HR being one of the job descriptions or one of the CV elements which HR talks about is that I manage the finances of organizations from an HR perspective. I was the CFO for the human side of the organization. That's where I see going them so that we stop seeing HR investments as the cost and see them as real investments.
Real investments. I think that's you know, words that can be amplified for as long as there is time. We've reached the end of today's conversation, but I would like to take a moment at this point for you to maybe give your advice to all of the CHROs to be out there, you know, the aspirational ones. Some of them might be listening to our podcast today, you never know.
See, I'm also learning from my fellow CHROs, and everybody has been to a very, very different journey as an HR head. And all of them, I'm sure, would be having very, very enriching experience in their career. And hence, now, the moment we become CHROs, we are expected to have a perspective of our own. And my only advice would be that when now at this level we speak with a lot of confidence. We speak with the perspectives which we have built over a period of time and not always refer to the model or maybe an organization which has been referred to here or take a industry benchmark and all. I think it is the time where we should stand and say that this is my perspective. And people in the organization should respect your perspective. That I think as CHROs, we have reached that stage now where we should have our own philosophies, own perspectives of life. And if we are really wrong in terms of our own perspectives and philosophy, then it's a separate scenario altogether. We should revisit our journey and we should build something which is my own perspective. This generation of the HROs have been in industry for last 20, 25 years. And I think the maximum amount of change this industrial revolution has seen in terms of human psychology is last 15 to 20 years, where we are the lucky breed of the CH or generation of the CHROs who have seen COVID and people behaving and organizations behaving very, very differently in COVID time. We are the people who have seen technology taking over. We are the people who have seen AI taking over. So I think all of us owe this to the HR fraternity and society that we all must write our own books and philosophies on HR.
Absolutely. Write your own stories as well.
Yeah.
That's a very inspiring note to end the conversation on. Thank you so much, Janesh, for being here, for sharing your experiences with us, and for taking us, detailing really the story of HR so far. I think, with your 20 plus years of experience in the area, you've really been able to see it evolve, right, in all of its different forms. And I think that journey is very fascinating and a lot to learn from and take into the future. Thank you so very much for being with us on this episode of Great FM.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I really, really enjoyed.
Everyone, hope you really enjoyed that and soak up all of the information. You can always come back and listen to it over and over again if there's insights that you still want to pick up on. But thank you very much for tuning in. We'll be back with another episode of Great FM. But in the meantime, as always, stay safe and stay happy.
This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.